absolutely fantastic pod for you today as new Yahoo contributor Tara Roberts joins the show to talk about make or break ADPs, guys who need to have a career year to justify their draft slot. We go over the ill-fated top three wide receivers from the 2022 wide receiver draft class and if they can meet their bloated ADPs. We also talk about a wide receiver going even higher than those that technically counts for this exercise that you might not have noticed. All that and more coming up. Let's get into it. It's Friday, August 9th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast presented by Toyota, the official automotive partner of the NFL. And it is a hell of a day to talk ball. And joining me to do just that is someone who's been on the show before, but I can now officially welcome to the Yahoo family as a new contributor, Tara Roberts. Tara, what's going on?
Oh, it's been a wonderful week. Happy, excited, happy to be with Yahoo, happy for football. Thank you for welcoming me.
Of course. Very excited about Tara joining the team. She is going to be on the show during the regular season, probably at least on the show a few more times heading up to week one as well. So she's already crushing it with articles on the website. Tara is absolutely a great addition here. I'm very, very excited she's with the show this season. And I'm very excited for the topic here today, Tara, which is pretty much all your idea. It's based on an article that you wrote for the website. So we're going to get into that. That's going to be a great discussion. But before we do, little programming note here. Sign up for a Yahoo Fantasy Football League right now if you haven't already. Like Tara said, football is oh so close to being back. By the time you're hearing this, there's been some preseason games, which, I mean, my God, what a great time to be alive. You're listening to this podcast, you should be drafting a Yahoo Fantasy Football League. I'll give you one more reason, though. Yahoo Sports and NBC are teaming up for a $1 million sweepstakes. Here's how you enter. You sign up for a private Yahoo Fantasy Football League and draft your team. Boom. That's easy. But if any of the players you start score a touchdown in the week one games on NBC and Peacock, you're going to earn bonus entries into the sweepstakes. Each person can earn up to 8 entries, one just for signing up, and up to 7 more for touchdowns scored in the 3 games. Deadline for entries, September 5th. That is rapidly approaching. So visit yahoo.com/fantasymillion to join. Speaking of drafting, a lot of you all are doing that this month, and that's why each week here in August, we have a central theme to the pods. This is concluding rankings week here today, and we're going to do that by looking at some make or break ADPs. Essentially, Tara, these are guys who need to have a career year to justify their inflated draft slot. Again, Tara, this is something you just wrote for the website, so I'm kind of curious, how do you typically approach these type of I haven't seen it yet players in your drafts? It's actually something we've been talking about, especially yesterday on the pod with Ben Gretsch. So I'm curious how you approach these type of players usually.
I like to be aggressive ranking. It feels weird ranking these guys and you're knowing that you're ranking them at their ceilings. And the way that I like to approach it and kind of like separating out, you know, well, I mean, we'll talk through these guys, but kind of separating out the ones that I trust a little bit more and the ones that I'm a little bit worried about is, are these guys upgrading their situation? Is there a reason that I should be aggressively raising them? Are they new quarterback situations, new offensive situations, is there something that's going to significantly upgrade their situation versus guys who you get a little bit worried about? They're in the same exact situation and you're just counting on them to do better in zero situations changing and you're not expecting a ton. So that's the kind of approach that I take, but I don't mind being aggressive ranking it. It's funny. I noticed on one of my players that I had here, I'm aggressively ranking them a lot more than the rest of the Yahoo fantasy analysts.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to hear which one that is. We have 4 players to talk through today from your article. And then I threw a couple out there at for the third section of the pod. See, I think it's interesting with these players. I'm with you. I'm typically pretty aggressive. I always think about, you know, Scott Pienowski says fantasy is not about skating where the puck has been. It's skating where the puck is going. And I think when you're looking at these guys, we'll just kind of call them making the leap candidates, because I think especially the wide receivers we're going to talk about in the second part of the show, we know these guys are good to some degree, but we're counting on them jumping up another tier. So when we think about these players, for me, I do try to be aggressive 100%. I also think, though, what you said about we're ranking them at their ceilings. For me, Tara, and you tell me if you disagree with this. I like to think that, okay, if I'm ranking this guy as a, let's just say, wide receiver 12, and he's never even come close to that territory, I at least want to tell myself a story of how they could be like a top 10 producer at the position. If I'm ranking a guy at wide receiver 7, he's never hit that height before. I kind of want to at least tell myself, what are the outside chances? What's the range of outcomes where he could be potentially one of the three best receivers in fantasy, or is that too aggressive?
No, I agree. I want to create a narrative around it. There's got to be a logical reason. We're not just grabbing these guys because we like them and we're hoping the offense is going to be fun. There's a logical reason and a narrative that we can create around why they could actually be, you know, rise up to even the top five of their position.
All right, so let's get into our first player here. We're going to start off with a hot topic running back. He's kind of sitting right in the running back dead zone, and that is Zamir White, running back, Las Vegas Raiders. Current ADP is running back 23, 66th overall ADP on Zamir White there. So, Tara, a lot of conflicting opinions on Zamir White. Where do you stand, and what's kind of the outlook for his season this year?
This one is such a tough one because I felt a lot more confident before we got into training camp, because when you're looking at Zamir White, you're saying he can be a three down back. He can catch the ball. There's not an issue there. He doesn't have bricks for hands. So if they want to use him as a three down back, it's very possible. So we're looking at that and we're saying, okay, he's going to get in here. He's got this job. He's going to be the RB1. And you're doing the math and saying, okay, I feel confident that he's, you know, I can rank him as an RB2 and it's not going to be an issue. He can hit that. And then we got into training camp. And we're hearing all of this Dylan Lobby, and, you know, he's looking fantastic, and, you know, he's just, you know, prolific receiving, and it's possible that, you know, he's just going to take all the third down work, and maybe all of a sudden, now Zamir White's a two down back in a bad offense, and with an undefined quarterback situation. And it made me a little bit more cautious with him because I want to rank him higher. I do. I like Zamir White. You know, you want to believe in him and believe that he's not going to be the Alexander Madison, ironically, of this year, and that he'll retain the job, right? It's weird. Now we've got Alexander Madison coming and being his backup, and we're hoping that it's not the same situation. So when I look at Zamir White, I want to be optimistic, and, you know, his ADP isn't super aggressive. It's not going to take a lot to get him there, but there's so many questions around the offense. You know, Matt, does Dylan Lobby affect the way that you look at Zamir White?
Yeah, because I think with any of these guys, and we did talk about Zamir White earlier this week with J.J. Zacharyson, and what I said on that show was that if the first thing you're saying about a running back is, well, who else is going to touch the ball, you've already made a mistake. Unless that's like Christian McCaffrey, right? You've already made a mistake if you said that, because for these guys who are, you know, you're Zamir White's, a fourth round pick, a guy who isn't, you know, highly touted, you know, he doesn't come with that big pedigree. There can always be somebody else. There's always that trap door. I mean, with Alexander Madison, that was the argument last year. Again, ironically, he is the backup for the Las Vegas Raiders right now, but that was kind of the argument for Alexander Madison. In addition to, okay, we've seen him have some flashes before, and we've seen flashes with Zamir White, but there was that Ty Chandler trap door kind of waiting around the bend there that, okay, well, if Alexander Madison's not getting it done, at some point, they're going to try something else. And I feel like that's kind of the case with Zamir White here. That's actually kind of the best case scenario, is that Dylan Lobby is not a thing, at least to start the season. But he's out there and he gets the job done. He just kind of holds off that sort of specter of Dylan Lobby. But if he gets out there and he doesn't, you know, he kind of stumbles out of the gate, then, yeah, they're going to try something else. Because, I mean, we know Antonio Pierce is out there trying to win football games.
It's ironic that you mentioned Ty Chandler, because I feel like when we looked at Ty Chandler last year and weren't perceiving him as a threat, it was because we were like, oh, I mean, he's a receiving back. He's small. He doesn't have size to him. How is he going to take over that job? And you look at Dylan Lobby and you're like, okay, it's kind of the same situation. A smaller back, receiving threat. Can he actually take over that starting job? I don't know. And I like Zamir White, but it does make me uncomfortable. We got a little sample size and he looked fantastic, but trusting that small sample size is the real issue there.
Yeah, the small sample size is tough with Zamir White. I also think that, you know, Dylan Lobby, again, pass catching back, that's a huge issue for a guy like White. Even if we knew White was a good, talented player, which I think he did look, he looked good last year. He looked fine, but you know, was that a flash in the pan, et cetera, et cetera. Like he, I think you can ask those questions again. I like what I saw from him last year, but that, I think again, you can ask those questions. Even if we knew he was set in that early down banger role, man, Tara, this is still an offense that's captained by Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew. And I'm hoping that it's Aiden O'Connell that wins that job just because I think that's A, more fascinating, and B, probably what I would do if I was the Raiders. I'd want to see what O'Connell looks like. But how often is this team going to be in game scripts where they're able to hand Zamir White the football 20 plus times on the ground? I'm not sure about that. The defense is good, but I guess that's sort of my question to you is like, how much do you really want to buy into the Raiders ecosystem right now at this point with the quarterback questions? Luke Getsy's kind of a retread offensive coordinator hire, so a lot of negatives in that particular column.
Yeah, I don't know if I trust Getsy, and the problem is we don't actually have a vision of what Getsy's philosophy as an offensive coordinator really is. We haven't had that consistency where we've been able to identify and say, hey, this is exactly what I know to expect out of him. So when you're looking at it, that's concerning. It's very concerning. So I agree with you. That's the Raiders offense is a tough one. Now, the good news is, as you mentioned, the defense, it's good. So I'm not concerned that the touches aren't going to be there. I don't think that we'll get a lot of situations where Zamir White is scripted out of games. But the problem is red zone opportunities. So if he's not scripted out, what if these are a bunch of extremely low scoring games? What if we get those infamous 3-0 games again that are just happening?
A thing that happened to the Raiders last year.
That is the concern.
Yeah, that's one of the many concerns here. I don't think Zamir White, I'm with you that his ADP is that atrocious. 66th overall player, running back 23, like I mentioned. I think that's fine. I've got him ranked kind of in the same range. It looks like you do too. But I think this is the bigger question with backs in this range is sort of the opportunity cost. Really, that's the biggest thing here is what are you passing up? So anytime we're going to play this game, we're going to do this with players. We're going to play the game of like this guy or that guy, Tara. So we're going to do a little bit of that here.
All right.
I'll throw out running backs that he's around in Yahoo ADP first. And we'll first address whether you like this guy or Zamir White a little bit better. Raheem Mostert, Ramondre Stevenson, Najee Harris. Those guys are running back 21, 22, and 24 right there around in the same overall ADP range of Zamir White. Do any of those three guys light your fire a little bit more than Zamir White?
Raheem Mostert for sure. Ramondre Stevenson, even him as well, because we're looking at that Patriots offense going to be run heavy. I know he has the pass catching upside. I'm not threatened by Antonio Gibson. So I feel super comfortable with Raheem Mostert and oddly enough, Ramondre Stevenson. Najee Harris is the one where it kind of makes me like,
yeah.
It's like, I know what I'm getting out of him. So do I want to shoot for the known of Najee Harris or do I want to say, I want the upside of what Zamir White could be? So it's just safety or potential.
Yeah, the more I look at Zamir White and I start weighing him against like a guy like Raheem Mostert, who I have below him, I have Jalen Warren below him. I want to move him down, but below all those guys, to be honest with you. So
yeah.
I'm with you that the Najee Harris one is kind of, again, he's running back 23 is White, and then Harris is running back 24. I think that's the range you're looking at. But the bigger question, like I said, is the opportunity cost. So let's talk about some other players that are around Zamir White in this range. First with quarterbacks, because if you're taking Zamir White, you're taking running backs in this range, you're passing up on some interesting quarterbacks here. We've got Jordan Love at quarterback 10. We've got Dak Prescott at quarterback 9. We've got Joe Burrow at quarterback 8. Is this an area for you? You like taking quarterbacks over these kind of dead zone running backs, or are you still trying, depending on team construction, are you more so looking at the running backs in this area?
No, I prefer the quarterbacks in this area. I mean, the good thing is with quarterbacks, I'm open to the entire range because it's so deep, but love Jordan Love. I do believe in the potential to repeat for Dak as well. Joe Burrow is Joe Burrow. So this is a place where if I haven't already taken a quarterback, I don't have somebody that I'm targeting late, I'm 100% okay with going quarterback over the running backs in this area.
Yeah, I generally feel the same way. Jordan Love is the guy I like the most there. Ironically, he's QB10. I have him over both Burrow and Dak. I actually have him a whole tier ahead of Dak just because I'm very nervous about the Cowboys. They didn't get better at all, Tara. they did not get better at all.
Yeah,
in the offseason.
They got to throw.
we'll see who are they throwing it to. Jalen Tolbert. I know this is the year. Producer Collins in the chat already. This is the year for Jalen Tolbert. I get it. But I don't know. The whole Cowboys thing makes me nervous. And with Jordan Love, it's just, you know, I'll give credit to my old buddy Rumford Johnny. I wrote this in the Draft Day Blueprint piece, which might be on the website by now. Get the syrup, not the pancakes. Get the distributor, the guy that's going to distribute those targets, as opposed to if we can't make sense of this Green Bay Packers target tree. That's sort of where I've landed on Love. So that's a guy I'd rather take in this range. Last thing before we move on, I'll throw some receiver names at you. This is, again, probably late sixth, maybe early seventh round-ish range here. We've got Christian Kirk. We've got Hollywood Brown. We've got Keenan Allen. We've got Deontay Johnson. We've got Chris Godwin and Jaden Reed and Rashee Rice. Is this an area where you like these receivers better than the kind of like dead zone running backs?
Oh, man, I hate to pick on the running backs here, but I do like this area for receivers to take a shot. You know, suspension aside, Rashee, we know the upside there, the potential of Hollywood Brown. I'm a stan. I'm hoping this is the turnaround for him. So yeah, the receivers here, Keenan Allen. I mean, it's Keenan Allen. So if you are taking a shot and these, you know, these are not guys I feel comfortable with my wide receiver one, but if you're grabbing a wide receiver two and you went tight end and quarterback early and you're trying to get some upside here, yeah, I would lean in this area for wide receivers.
Yeah, I just don't even mind like the next group of running backs, you know, the Jalen Warrens, like I mentioned, even James Conner, Jonathan Brooks, these type of players. Take your upside shots with one of the Titans backs or the Bengals backs. Like if I can tier down to that group, I actually kind of like that better. And then taking one of those receivers and where Zamir White goes, especially the second year guys, you know, JSN, Jaden Reed, Rashee Rice, like those guys, or some of the boring veterans that I've been a longtime fan of, like the Deontay Johnsons or the Chris Godwins. But I just can see those guys outkicking their ADP a lot more than I can see. I can see the case for Zamir White meeting his ADP, but again, Tara, we want to tell ourselves the story about how this guy can well outkick this. I think by the sound of it, you and I feel like Zamir White can get you running back 23 production, but we don't necessarily see a scenario where he can get you running back 10 or 12 or 13, something like that.
Yeah.
All right, perfect. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a very interesting trio of wide receivers here. All right, we're back. Tara, the 2022 wide receiver class, the top three guys there, they all went in the top 11 picks. Those prospects were so damn good. But man, were they ill-fated in terms of landing spots and quarterback pairing. So we're going to talk about those three guys here because they all fit our exercise. Let's start with Drake London, wide receiver 14, 24th overall ADP. He has not even come close to this finish from a fantasy perspective so far. In his rookie season, he was 35, and he actually took a little bit of a step back in year two, wide receiver 39. So, Tara, how do we feel about Drake London as the wide receiver 14 this year?
Oh, I tipped my hat that there was one wide receiver that I rank over everybody else in the Yahoo analyst, and it's this. It's Drake London. I have him. I'm leaning in. I'm believing. I'm a Drake London truther this year, and I can't be moved off of it. Because as we were talking about, you want to create the narrative around these guys, and I can craft such a good narrative around Drake London because I can excuse away the production. The production is bad, right? Having six touchdowns over the first 2 years of your career, that's not good. Hasn't reached 1,000 yards. It's been underwhelming. Normally we would look at this and we would say, how on earth would this be a guy that we're, you know, pushing up to a borderline wide receiver one? But when you've had quarterbacks like Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heineke, you've been scraping the bottom of the barrel and you just haven't been able to escape. And the coaching situation as well. So when I look at him heading into 2024, with the upgrade of Kirk Cousins, with the upgrade of a backup that hopefully is reliable now with Michael Penix. I don't know if I agree with the pick, but hey, you know, now we've got someone that we can turn to and feel maybe a little bit more comfortable with. We've got a brand new offense that's stemming from the Sean McVay system that works very well for Kirk Cousins last year. So I can create such a good narrative around Drake London and why he is going to ascend to top 10 greatness this year that I have ranked him at. It's aggressive. We are drafting him at his ceiling. We are taking a massive leap of faith here, but he's shown those bits of elite qualities. And if we can just get the right situation and the right quarterback for him, I do believe it's going to happen.
Yeah, look, I love Drake London. I think he's a great player. I was interested. I had two reactions when I pulled up our rankings page because I wanted to see where you had him ranked. You have him ranked as wide receiver 9, which is over ADP, and you're right, over the Yahoo consensus ranking of wide receiver 12, which is where I have him, where Dalton Del Don has him. I look at Andy Behrens there, has got him wide receiver 19, and my first reaction is like, Andy, come back to literally come back to America. Come back to reality, bro. Get out of the Olympics and like get your head on straight with this Drake London ranking. But then I hear myself, Tara, from a few months ago when I consistently said that like wide receiver 19 would be a huge jump for Drake London based on what he did before. And I don't want people, like, let's say he finishes as wide receiver 19. You know, people are going to come out with the pitchforks. They'll be like, see, Drake London is not that good. You guys were just too aggressive on him. You like bought into a talent that wasn't there. And it's like, no, actually, that would be a big jump. Based on what he did from a statistical perspective in his first two seasons, that would be a significant jump. Like wide receiver 19 last year was ironically a guy we're going to talk about in a little bit. Chris Olave, 87 catches, 1,100 yards. Wide receiver 18 was Amari Cooper with 1,250 yards. Like if Drake London goes out and puts up 1,250 yards, that would be a nice season. That would be a really nice season, but we're not ranking and we're not drafting for nice, Tara. We're drafting for a lot more than that.
Oh, we are. We are drafting for Kirk Cousins to transition him to a slightly lesser version of Justin Jefferson. I'm not asking for him to make him Justin Jefferson, right? I can be realistic, right, yeah, but just get us kind of towards that direction and it'll justify everything. The Falcons offense is interesting, and I would love to get your opinion on this because I've been struggling and trying to grapple with this. Because we're asking so much of this offense as a whole. We've got Bijan as RB3. We all feel that. We've got Kyle Pitts, who doesn't have, you know, he doesn't have that top 5 ADP, but it's decent, right? We're expecting a good little turnaround. Yeah, it's close. And we're expecting a good little turnaround for him. I still hold a candle for Darnell Mooney. Love him. And the, you know, potential that he can bring as a wide receiver too in this offense. Are we asking too much of this offense as a whole, and what's going to give? And I get worried, like, is Drake London going to be the one that gives? I hope not.
I don't think he's going to be the one that gives, because I think he has, look, Bijan's only had one season, so it's not fair to really compare them. But I just think when you compare Drake London and Kyle Pitts's career so far, like Drake London has been a much better player than Kyle Pitts has consistently. And some of that is not Kyle Pitts's fault because he's dealt with injuries. So I would just say that plus the fact that you hear out of camp that they're going to have your guy Darnell Mooney play as potentially the top outside X receiver, which I don't love that for Darnell Mooney's skill set. But I tell you, I do love that for Drake London, because that means Drake London's going to move around the formation. That means they're going to do some of the things that they did. Obviously, Zach Robinson, passing game coordinator with the Rams last year. I think it just so cleanly lines up for Drake London to be used like Puka Nacua was last year, where he's an outside receiver. He probably takes them. He probably still takes more snaps than anybody else on the team as the X receiver, the farthest outside receiver on the line of scrimmage, on the boundary. But they're going to do things to get him off the line of scrimmage for big crossing routes. And that's where I think you can say a lot of bad things about Arthur Smith, some fair and some unfair, in my opinion. But the one thing that was definitely, I think he missed the mark on, was Drake London's deployment, where he was just always that outside guy, always on the line of scrimmage, really never moved around. I think in this staff, they're probably going to do a better job than that. So to me, I think I think that the running game is going to be built out of Bijan. I don't think we got to worry too much about him. And I just look at that depth chart, Tara, and tell me why Drake London can't have 140 targets. Like, what is the trap door for Drake London to not have 140 targets this year?
Exactly. We just got to get the targets up here because they have, and that's the good news. It's not like, you know, there's some wide receivers on this list that have had astronomical targets. I guess we'll get to that. But Drake London's targets haven't really been that aggressive. 110 targets last year. There's so much room here. So that's the good thing here. We've got room for him to grow. We're asking a lot, but we've got the quarterback. We've got the offense that you mentioned and everything. Just you can piece it together to fit perfectly.
Yeah, and it's just last couple points on this one. He's probably not going to be Justin Jefferson, but why can't he produce what Puka Nacua produced last year? Just over 100 catches, right under 1,500 yards. And I would challenge the listener this. Like, tell me what Puka Nacua does significantly better as a player than Drake London. I'm not saying production, like throw production out of the window, but just like what are the traits that Puka has that Drake London doesn't? Puka's probably a little bit more of a lunatic, and I say this lovingly because I'm a big Puka fan, but he's probably more of a lunatic at the position, willing to throw his body around and be more physical. But from a receiving and route running standpoint, I actually think Drake London probably has a better catch radius. I think Drake London probably separates better in the intermediate outbreaking route area, which would be good if Michael Penix ever did have to get under center. He can push the ball deep outside the numbers to a guy like Drake London. Again, Puka's probably better after the catch. He's probably better in the open field. He just is a tougher football player. But I don't think it's so far off if you just isolate them from an individual perspective to say Puka Nacua is and Drake London are kind of in the same tier of receiver.
I think that makes a lot of sense. That's a good comparison there. We don't have to go to the Justin Jefferson level. We can go to a similar comp in an offense that will be very similar to this one here. So I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and there's just not those receivers in that range. Once we get past kind of Marvin Harrison and Devontae Adams at wide receiver 9 and 10, there's not a lot of guys that are just going to moonwalk into that 130 targets. You know, there's Mike Evans. He's not really a high volume receiver. Again, another guy we'll talk about, Chris Olave. He hasn't necessarily been that guy yet. Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, we'll see where Ayuk is playing football this year. But if they're both on the 49ers, they're not going to get that type of target level. Nico Collins, DK Metcalf, they aren't going to get that type of target level. So that's why ultimately I think Drake London's ADP makes sense. But Tara, I respect the hell out of you for saying like, oh, screw making sense. I'm going to go five spots higher on Drake London than ADP, because it's hard to say in the year 2024 I am ahead of ADP on Drake London, but you are probably one of the few people that can say it.
You know, I feel like every single year you got to do something nice, big, and bold, something to hang your hat on, and that's what I'm hanging my hat on this season. Drake London, please don't let me down.
Well, hey, hopefully when you're on the pod every Friday this season, we're just talking about big time Drake London weeks, yes, and not like, Tara, please, is this the week for Drake London? Because I'm going to deflect that all on you now. Like, I've been a big Drake London guy now. I'm going
to deflect that all. Go back and scrub it.
Yeah. Well, it's just the internet. Nothing lasts forever on the internet. Okay. Hopefully Garrett Wilson's quarterback misery is not going to last forever. And frankly, let's hope it's not going to last any more days on his human earth existence here. Garrett Wilson's the next player we're talking about here. He is the next group of this, you know, ill-fated 2022 class. He is going off the board wide receiver 7, 11th overall, which is hyper-aggressive in terms of his fantasy finishes so far. Wide receiver 19 in 2022, wide receiver 32 in 2023. We know why that is. We know that's not Garrett Wilson's fault. But Tara, do you have any concerns at all over the fact that we're not even saying, again, oh, he'll be better than he's been so far. We're just kind of waving him in, like, into the, it's not the elite tier of receivers, but certainly the top of that second tier.
Yeah, this one makes me nervous. And it makes me nervous because unlike Drake London, and I guess, you know, when we're looking at ADP and not my crazy rankings, unlike Drake London, Drake London is coming after, you know, we get this nice second round of these running backs and, the wide receivers with the high upside and the veterans. And having Garrett Wilson as a borderline round one wide receiver is just kind of terrifying on that one, because there's such a difference in the reliability between him and the six ahead of him, right? You're going directly behind AJ Brown, a guy that is incredibly consistent, one of the most consistent receivers over the past couple of years. We know what we get. We can trust him. We know that, like, we feel safe with that as a round one wide receiver. And it's so mildly terrifying to, you know, look at the Jets offense and say, we're going to trust Aaron Rodgers, who's had a fantastic career, but we're at the tail end here. And we need him to ascend Garrett Wilson to a round one pick. That's aggressive. I'm okay with him in his ADP, but the problem is that the receivers are being pushed so far up where he is in terms of where you have to take him. It's just, it's feel so, so risky. I'd feel more comfortable if we were just looking at that round two ADP for him.
Yeah, it would just feel better, right? If it was 13, 14 instead of 11. Because yeah. In a 12-team league, that's a first-round pick. If it's not a 12-team league, it's the very first pick of the second round. And the problem, Tara, is just like, okay, you're not going to take Garrett Wilson as, and he would be typically wide receiver 8 probably if Puka Nacua hadn't picked up a training camp injury. Yeah. Then Puka would be 7 and Garrett, well, that was what it was before the Puka injury. But it's kind of just like, okay, well, you're not going to take Garrett Wilson there. Who are we taking? Are we some of those other guys like we just mentioned? And, you know, again, it doesn't feel comfortable, but you and I both have him at wide receiver 8. Like, we're not saying take these names over him. And that's the thing, is like, you can take Marvin Harrison over him. Does that feel any better? A guy who's I'm never the, hey, he never played a down in the NFL type of thing, but he's never played a down in the NFL. You're going to take him over him. Davante Adams tethered to that quarterback situation we were oh so rosy about in the first half of the show. Again, those other guys that aren't going to moonwalk into a top target share. I mean, Garrett Wilson should moonwalk into 150 targets if everything goes right this year.
Yeah, for sure. I don't like it. And we've got Mike Williams, but I don't know that that's a massive threat to the target share, right? It's just trusting what's going to come of this Jets offense, because we know they've got a good defense. We know that they don't have to push high volume. This is not a situation where they're going to be playing from behind, that they're going to have to be, they can rely on the run. That's why we trust Breece Hall. Again, we've got this situation where we've got these two players, two Jets players with round one ADPs, and you're thinking, okay, well, what's going to give? Well, I trust Breece Hall. I trust him. Yeah. I've seen it. I know what he can be. I feel comfortable with it. I don't have the same level of comfort with Garrett Wilson, but like you said, Matt, we're ranking him there. Yeah, you know, it is what it is. We just are being realistic about the fact that we're asking a lot, and we need particularly the red zone opportunities to increase. The touchdowns got to go up. It can't be 3-4 touchdowns.
No, it definitely cannot. I'm glad you brought up Mike Williams, because he was just pulled off. Was he just pulled off the PUP this week? Yep. It sounds like he's going to be ready for week one, which is great. You know, he tore his ACL back in week 3 of last season. So that makes sense that he's going to be out there, whether he's 100% or not. You never know that. Even just, you know, being out there does not mean 100%, but his career high in targets, I think it would surprise people, is 129. He's only gone over 100 targets once in his entire career. Some of that is due to injuries, but he's never been one of these target dominating receivers. He's primarily been an outside threat. So even like Mike Williams can be a 19-18% target share player, and there's still so much room for Garrett Wilson to come near the target share numbers that he had last year, when he had right around a 27.1% target share, air yard share 45.8%. That was the highest among all pass catchers. He can give a little bit of that air yard share to Mike Williams and still maintain that target share number, which would be good for the Jets offense. That's the thing that I think is kind of the castle made of sand here, Tara, is just that, let's say you and I are doing the podcast in week 8, and we're like, well, let's talk about the Jets here. Yeah, Mike Williams is hurt. Tyron Smith is hurt. Aaron Rodgers is kind of limping around and isn't too happy with the structure of the offense. Like, that would be 0% surprising if that disaster scenario played out.
I completely agree. I mean, it's... I know we've got, when we're looking at Drake London, we've got, you know, Kirk Cousins coming off of, you know, the exact same injury, but, you know, there's a difference in age, and, you know, they had two very different previous seasons. So you're kind of wondering how much we can have that trust in Aaron Rodgers. Is he going to be able to, you know, maintain for the entire season, the health, everything? There's, you know, there's a lot of factors and concerns there that we're trying to rely on with him.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of outside factors, but the one thing that does give me comfort here in putting Garrett Wilson is just, Garrett Wilson is so good. So good. Yes. I'll read this off before we move to Chris Olave. I might have mentioned this stat on the show before, but these are the following players that have cleared the 95th percentile in success rate versus man coverage in reception perception, who have also cleared 80%, 81% success rate versus zone, which Garrett Wilson did both last season. Stephon Diggs, Michael Thomas, Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown, AJ Brown, and Devontae Adams, and Justin Jefferson. That's it. That's the list. Like, that is the company that Garrett Wilson, as an individual player in isolation, as a route runner, a separator, a man coverage dominator, that's the company that he keeps. So I get why we've waved him into this tier, but I think it's just acknowledging that we're asking for not just one leap from a production standpoint. We're asking probably for about three.
Yes.
Okay. Our third player here in this ill-fated 2022 class is Chris Olave. He is actually going as wide receiver 12, 22nd overall on Yahoo ADP, which is pretty aggressive. He is unlike the other two guys who actually got worse from year one to year two from a production perspective. There was a little bit of a jump for Chris Olave. He was wide receiver 25 as a rookie. He was wide receiver 19 last year. Didn't feel like an improvement. If you had the unfortunate of watching the Saints offense for most of the year. But Tara, I'm really curious on your perspective on this one, because I'm an unabashed Chris Olave fan. But I'm not even sure about wide receiver 12 ADP. So where do you come down on this one?
Oh, man. Yeah. So I'm right on ADP, and it feels weird because, you know, like you, I'm a big fan. But at the same time, I'm looking at this and I feel very uncomfortable with it. I will say the reason why I have him ranked over, and you kind of hit on this before, after Chris Olave, you get into a range of mild red flags, right? Of guys that we don't know what's their position on the team. You know, you've got the Nico Collins and the Tate Dells and the, you know, Stephon Diggs, and everything gets kind of muddy. The San Francisco receivers, and Chris Olave is a guy that we look at and we say, we know he's a wide receiver one. We know he is the guy in that offense. The problem is that when I look at him, I compare him a lot to Terry McLaurin, a guy that I know I'm comfortable with. He is the wide receiver one. He leads this offense. I know he's going to get me 1,000 yards. I know that the receptions-ish will be there, right? But there's not going to be touchdowns because, unfortunately, yeah, it's just not going to happen. And with, you know, Drake London and Garrett Wilson, we've got changes in the quarterback that we can turn to. And unfortunately, Chris Olave is stuck with Derek Carr, who has had nothing but red zone inconsistency his entire career. That has been what has plagued him. So even with the change of, you know, maybe you can say, okay, well, they're changing offensive coordinator. Maybe things change a little bit. Well, we're getting the news that, you know, Taysom Hill is still going to be involved. So are the touchdowns really going to, you know, transition over to the receivers? Are we going to see a bump in that? I'm ranking him at his ADP, but man, I just don't think that he can get there. And I hate that.
It's so funny that you said Terry McLaurin for two reasons. One, their stats are like pretty much exactly the same. I mean, Terry McLaurin, this is disgusting because it should be so much more, but his career average yards per season, 1,056. He's averaged 5 touchdowns per season, 75.6 catches per season. Chris Olave, through two seasons, has averaged 79.5 receptions, 1,082.5 yards, and 4.5 touchdowns. I mean, it is eerily similar. Yeah. The thing with Terry is that I don't think he's better than those stats. He could do, put him in any of these other situations and he could be much better. I'm a longtime Terry McLaurin backer. He could do much better in other situations. That's my belief. However, this is what happens with these guys who never get paired with that quarterback right away. Tara, we start to do the bartering. And I'm the king of this, okay? This is my area of expertise, is the bartering. Well, okay, yeah, Carson Wentz isn't very good, but, like, is he better than, I don't know, Taylor Heinicke? Yeah, sure. Sam Howell, he's going to throw the football down the field. Maybe he throws it to Terry McLaurin. Eric Bieniemy, he's coming from the Chiefs offense. Blah, blah, blah. We see how that stuff works out. And in hindsight, and I kind of feel like Chris Olave, who actually I do think from a player talent perspective, him and Terry McLaurin are pretty, pretty similar. I'm doing that a little bit with Chris Olave this year, where I'm saying, yes, it's still Derek Carr. I get that. It's still Dennis Allen. The vibe on the Saints is weird, but they got Clint Kubiak, the 49ers tree, Tara, the motion, the pre-snap motion, the play action. It's going to be great for Chris Olave. Even still, I don't have him ranked at wide receiver 12 though. That's the thing. I don't have him at wide receiver 12. I'm actually the second lowest, on Chris Olave at Yahoo, which, I mean, that sucks. I want to slap myself for saying that, but I have him wide receiver 16. You have him at wide receiver 12. So I don't know. Again, like, yeah, it's the fact that we're doing the bartering with Chris Olave and the fact that he hasn't met this, and it makes me a little nervous about the wide receiver 12 ADP.
You're right. The bartering, that's the perfect way to phrase it. Like, with other guys, we're creating narratives. With this one, I feel like we're making excuses, right?
Yeah. We're trying to talk ourselves into something that may or may not be real, like may or may not be, or at least may not be real to the effect that it's going to have the boost up from, you know, wide receiver 19 to wide receiver 12. Like, again, look, I've got him at wide receiver 16, which is ahead of where he's finished in his NFL career so far. Like, that is a bit of progression for Chris Olave. And, like, let me just get this on the record right now. If Chris Olave comes in as a monster season, you're not allowed, nobody's allowed to come back and throw this in my face, okay? I had Chris Olave as number one in this class. I'm a Chris Olave guy. Let me just get that clear. The way these guys all smash this ADP, Tara, without us being able to really see it before the year, is just that they're so good at the game. And Chris Olave is so good at the game. Before we move on here, I just want to throw a few names that I really juggled, like Chris Olave versus this guy. You tell me if I'm crazy for having these players from 13 to 15, because I have Drake London at 12, and I know how you feel about Drake London. Mike Evans, Chris Olave. What's the case for Olave over Mike Evans?
Youth. That's it. Yeah. Youth, potentially maybe Tampa Bay's offense regressing a little bit with Dave Canales leaving. That's the only thing that makes me mildly concerned about Mike Evans.
Yeah, it's tough. Nico Collins, I have him at wide receiver 14. Looks like you have him actually at 16, so you're higher on Chris Olave than Nico Collins. Let me hear the case on this one.
And I'll be honest, we might be on the same train once we actually get into the season, because Chris Olave, I need to see some preseason games. I need to see where people are lining up on the field. I need to see the usage. And then I can say, okay, all right, I trust Nico a little bit more. I know, you know, how this Texans offense is going to function with these three superstar receivers. So if Chris Olave is going anywhere, he's going back, unfortunately. So I could get closer to that 16 range as I start to get a little bit more clarity around the situations with Nico and Debo and, you know, how the offense looks for Mike Evans. So, yeah, I can't make a case for it, because it's very possible for me that Chris Olave is going to flip with these guys, to be honest.
Totally. The reason I went with Nico was just that, one, I love Chris Olave, but what Nico Collins did last year was way better than anything that Chris Olave has done in the NFL. Number one. And number two, he's tied to a better quarterback. And Chris Olave is the number one on that team with a bullet. He's clearly the number one. And Nico obviously is in a tough target tree there. But I would just rather take the guy that maybe has a bit of a thinner target projection with a CJ Stroud led offense in an environment that I know is going to be really good. I know season two of Bobby Slowick is going to be good. I hope the Clint Kubiak season one is good. Last guy I'll throw here, because you're actually much farther off this player than I am. I have Jalen Waddle ranked ahead of Chris Olave. I've got Waddle at wide receiver 15. You've got him at 20. And this is, I think, just comes down to philosophy, Tara. Do you want the wide receiver one again with all the caveats I throw there with Chris Olave, or are you taking the wide receiver two from a much more established ecosystem? Or is this another one that you think you might flip by the time the season starts?
No, Jalen Waddle is one that I just don't trust him in terms of injuries throughout the entire season. So if I'm looking at a guy... Fair. Who, that's the only issue with him. trust the Miami offense. Everything, I think, will remain exactly the same. It's just, are we going to continue to get these same, you know, Jalen Waddle leaves the game, you know, in the third quarter because he got poked in the eye. You know, there's just so many random
already injured
things.
A little
He's
bit
already
in camp.
Injured.
Already, yep, yeah.
Exactly. Already injured. So, yeah, he gets the little injury bump back for me. But the upside is a lot higher for him. So I get that. But it's the injury concerns that bump him back for me.
All these guys are in the same tier. I mean, we're picking nits between these players, so I don't think it's too crazy to have one over the other, but I just thought those were some interesting cases when we're weighing against Chris Olave, who's that clear-cut number one receiver in a questionable situation. God, I want good things for all three of these players. I'm going to be, you know, lighting a candle for all three. Whatever forces we have to convince here, let's wish good things for these three players. Okay, let's take one last quick break. We come back. I've got two more to throw at Tara that are kind of ranked sneakily ahead of their fantasy finishes so far right after this. All right, Tara, I'm going to throw two at you here, one of which I might be stretching a little bit, but technically, Tara, Ja'Marr Chase counts in this category. He is wide receiver 3 overall right now. He is the 6th overall player. His fantasy finishes so far, yeah, in 2021, he was the wide receiver 5. And yes, his second season, he was the wide receiver 5 in points per game. He was wide receiver 12 overall because he missed some time. Last year, he dipped back all the way to wide receiver 13. 3 is higher than 5. So again, yes, technically he does count for this. But he does stand out when you look at these guys that are in tier 1, Tara, that he's never had that monster season. Yeah, he scored 13 touchdowns as a rookie. That was great. But he didn't have the target totals of guys like Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb, who's the wide receiver 1. Or even, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown from just a pure stats perspective. He's had some higher, crazier seasons before. So are you comfortable with Ja'Marr Chase as the 6th overall player off the board? Depending on your platform, sometimes he's a top 3 player off the board.
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting that you brought him up, because I think this, and it's so minute, but everything you said is exactly why I prefer Justin Jefferson as my wide receiver 3. And it's so tiny, but you know, I've got Ja'Marr Chase as wide receiver 4, and you're right. He's the one player in this, you know, tier who hasn't had that monster year and does have to, you know, have a significant upgrade in performance, a decent upgrade in performance in order to hit his ADP. And then there's a lot of caveats around him, right? You know, we had that, you know, suspect year for Joe Burrow. He's got to, you know, come back, recover from the injury, and be the Joe Burrow that we originally saw. We've got T. Higgins, who is in a, you know, a clear contract year. He knows that he has to earn that massive contract and what Cincinnati is and isn't willing to give him. And there's a lot of incentive for him to go out there and dominate and perform at a higher level than he ever has. So there are little factors here with Ja'Marr Chase that could, you know, put him in an interesting situation. So yeah, when you're looking at these guys, these round one wide receivers, Ja'Marr Chase does kind of stick out as someone who has to make that leap to somehow another level, even though he's Ja'Marr Chase, but just a little bit of a push up to justify that ADP.
Yeah, we're talking minute details here, but that's what we do when we're talking about these first round picks. I will say something that, because I think Ja'Marr Chase prior to camp, I'm like, look, he's got a great case to be the wide receiver 1 overall this year. Joe Burrow's back. He should be healthy. I also thought that there was a chance that he would take the most snaps out of the slot that I've ever seen in his career. And I still think that is going to be the case, but there's a couple things that have me a little, I haven't adjusted my wide receiver 3 ranking on Ja'Marr Chase, but I'm at least like raising an eyebrow at that ranking. Two things. One, he's still holding in, you know, he's not practicing. Like the whole nation just has to apparently follow every fake insider tweet about Brandon Ayuk, and like we've been declaring the deal to Pittsburgh is done for 3 days, and we've reacted to it people that have no lives. Like I'm not doing that. Okay, the trade's done, that's when I'll talk about it. But we've been following every Brandon Ayuk update for the last 3 days that We forget that two guys that are actually going higher in fantasy, CeeDee Lamb and Ja'Marr Chase, are also not practicing. They're not happy with your contract situations. Chase, I feel like because this is only his fourth season, he's going to be the most banged of this group. Like, they're probably just going to tell him, you go ahead and come to camp and like keep play this thing out. We've already got one disgruntled receiver over here. We just get in here and let's get to work. But I don't know how that's going to make him feel. And then secondly, this Andre Yoshivas thing from camp has my attention. I really like Jermaine Burton, good player. I think he's going to be a good player for the Bengals at times, but he's like a pure outside receiver. This Yoshivas thing, big guy, athletic guy, but they're using him as the slot receiver. He might just be the full-time replacement for Tyler Boyd. And look, once Ja'Marr gets to camp, maybe things shake up. This is very, very early camp days. We haven't seen a single preseason game. But yeah, if that guy's going to be the full-time slot receiver, that kind of pushes back on my theory about Chase playing more inside and getting more of those layup targets, which I think would make him closer to a top of tier two receiver and not a true tier one receiver. So I don't know, Tara, I'm not changing my Ja'Marr Chase ranking, but like I said, I'm raising an eyebrow at it.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, you know, he's a top 10 receiver. We know that, you know, health barring not the issue, but is that push going to happen? Yeah, it's a little bit of a question mark.
Yeah, it's like, I think before camp, I thought it was an 80-20 chance. Now I think it's maybe 60-40. So I'm still on the positive side that it's going to happen. Maybe even 65%. I'm still on the positive side that it's going to happen, but I've just backed off it a tiny bit, which, like I said, I still have Chase over Jefferson because one guy's getting the ball thrown to him by Joe Burrow and the other is like, hey, we hope Sam Darnold's good this year. As you've seen, Sam Darnold in training camp is looking great. But we don't know if that's going to translate to the regular games. Last player here I wanted to talk about, Isaiah Pacheco. Running back 9, 20th overall. He's again, a guy that we are projecting a big leap from here. His best fantasy finish was last year, in 2023, as the running back 16. Obviously, as a rookie, he wasn't really a full-time player, so not really a relevant sampler. And he wasn't really a full-time player last year either. So, Tara, I think Pacheco's a really fascinating fantasy pick this year. Where do you stand?
I like that you pointed this one out, because honestly, I missed it. I missed that he was going to need to have that increase in production, because in my mind, when I think of Isaiah Pacheco, he doesn't come to mind, because I look at him as someone who I know that last year's production is essentially a guarantee if he stays healthy. I know the Chiefs offense is what it is. They're not going to change what they do. I know that he is going to get a certain amount of carries. We already saw the increase in receiving usage from him last year. We've got the, you know, exit of Jerick McKinnon that should potentially help there. And we know that there's a cap to his red zone touchdowns, because Patrick Mahomes likes to call his own number there. So we know where the touchdowns are going. So when I look at Isaiah Pacheco, I feel like I know him. I know exactly what he's going to do. And when I'm ranking him, I'm not thinking about him outperforming his statistics from last year in order to reach an ADP. I think of him as such a safe option at running back. He's an RB1 that I know is going to be the RB1 of his team, and I don't have to question that. So you kind of challenged me here on this one and my thought process, because he's someone that I rank, I think, based off safety in the known. And I, you know, he does have to have a boost in production, and maybe it can come from the receiving yards. Do you think maybe he can get an increase in receptions that's going to push him up to that level?
That's what they're hoping for, or I guess that's what drafters are hoping for. And by the way, you're saying I'm pushing you on this. I've got him at running back 9-10. So I'm in this range here with ADP. So I'm expecting the leap as well. I guess, yeah, it does come down to the reception load. And, you know, there were games last year, like against the Bengals, where I think he caught 7 passes late in the game. I remember asking about that at the Super Bowl. That I always said that was one of your best performances. You caught 7 passes. Like, was that part of the game plan? And, you know, we'll kind of talk through that game. And he definitely talked about being used more as a receiver. And I think that's something he wants to do. I think that's something that he has earned more trust in doing. It's not that there's been a ton of volume so far as a receiver through the course of his career, but there's been times when they've split him out or had him run a slant from the backfield, and Mahomes gets them the ball pretty quickly. Cause with that Chiefs offense, and even more so this year with your guy, Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy, you're going to have space underneath. So, you know, Mahomes is never going to be the most checked down to the running back guy, cause he loves to scramble, led all quarterbacks in scramble yards last year. But at the same time, I think to meet this ADP, we're not asking him to be a high volume receiver. We're hoping he gets to maybe 50 plus catches. And I can kind of see that happening even with the improvement in the receiving core.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, he's definitely an interesting pick. Again, I'll reference all of our rankings here. You've got him at 11. I've got him at like 9. I might move him down to 10, just depending on the Kyren Williams thing. Andy has him at running back 4. I mean, yo, Tara. Tara, we have to get Andy Behrens back to America. He's on, you know, Europe time. His head is in the clouds. He's been watching track and field and all this stuff. He needs to get back into the stat sheets, okay? I'm calling Andy out. Enough playing around already, pal. Back to the U.S. and get your head in the stat sheets, buddy, and out of the track and field logs. That's all I'm saying here. Terry, you don't have to say anything. You don't even have to say yes. You just started here this week. You don't want to make an enemy of Andy Behrens, trust me. As somebody who has been an enemy of Andy Behrens at times, for sure. You know, he is the king of Yahoo. He's been working here probably since I don't know, the 50s, since before the internet really got started. So he's definitely not somebody we want to get on his bad side. Okay. Enough goofing around here. Let's finish with our final segment. Let's toss it to our keys to winning, presented by Toyota, the official automotive partner of the NFL. For the month of August, we want to help you with your keys to winning your drafts. And Tara, in your piece, you wrote that before we had all these sensational rookie breakouts, we would seek the third-year breakout at wide receiver. You said, don't be jaded by the recent rookie success. The three-year breakout is still very real. Nico Collins showed us that in 2023. All the guys that we talked about, the Olaves, the Wilsons, the Drake Londons, those guys aren't even really like the Nico Collinses. Those guys produced as rookie and second year players, just not quite up to the standard they're going this year. So I'm curious to wrap the show up here. You know, I just think as a community, we've gotten way too impatient with young wide receivers. And I think Nico is a great proof of that. So let's try to talk about who could be maybe a this year's version of that. We talked about the highly valued guys, but what do you try to look for in the guys that are Nico Collins, who kind of come out from a very light production resume and become fantasy breakout players in their year three? If there's any examples you want to throw out, I would take them. But just from a general perspective, what type of players are we looking for here?
We're looking for, again, it's not excuses, but we're looking for players that have legitimate reasons as to why they had subpar production, right? When you look at Nico Collins, it was very obvious why he had that subpar production in those first couple of years, and why he could make that leap with CJ Stroud. And when I think about guys in similar situations, obviously Jahan Dotson is one where shaky quarterback situations where we saw visually that little spurt his rookie year, and the touchdowns where he looked fantastic. And we thought, okay, this is a guy. I leaned in heavy the next year. I thought that he was going to break out. It just didn't happen, unfortunately, with the quarterback situation. But, you know, maybe getting Jaden Daniels an upgrade for him and that offense can succeed. We've got new offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, and there's so many things that can happen to push and help Jahan Dotson have potentially a similar breakout to Nico Collins. I think that's one that makes a ton of sense. Then you also have a guy like Jameson Williams as well. I feel like we've talked about Jameson Williams 5,000 times over, and I feel bad about that because I feel like Jameson Williams is one of those guys that people just don't want to, you know, continually hear about because he's getting all that hype, right? But that's another one where we can look at. We can say you have to erase his rookie season. The rookie season doesn't exist. It can't exist because he was coming off of that injury. So really, you know, we're looking at a player who is, you know, getting his feet under him. He's had one real NFL season. You have to look at these guys that can be the Nico Collins and identify the ones that have those reasons as to why their early seasons just weren't successful. But the talent is there, right? We identified it before and we knew they could break out, but is now the time that they can finally do so?
I love your framing here of we're looking for reasons, not excuses, because yeah, you can sit there with some guys who have just not been good players so far in the NFL and you can make up excuses. You can make up excuses for every wide receiver, but we're looking for legitimate reasons. I love both of those candidates. People know I'm a Jahan Dotson guy. And I think there have been reasons, whether it was the injury in his rookie season before he finished strong. And then last year, just structurally, that offense was a mess. I think that's a reason. Some people think that's an excuse. That's fair. And I'm glad you brought up Jameson Williams, even though you said, you know, maybe people are sick of hearing about him because of all the hype. And I know we've talked about him on a previous show, but Tara, he's still going. And I want to be very quiet about this because I don't want this to rise. I thought this was going to go up by now, but he's still wide receiver 49 in Yahoo ADP. I am perfectly okay with taking Jameson Williams there. Don't say that Jameson Williams is the next Nico Collins, because I think that Nico Collins was a better NFL player on film than Jameson Williams has been so far. I'm not saying that. Do not print in the papers that I said Jameson Williams is the next Nico Collins. But at wide receiver 49, I think you're baking in all of the reasons, excuses, whatever you want to call them, into that ADP. So I think that's a great call. He's certainly someone that when we're looking for these breakout third-year players, yeah, that's delayed in today's timeline, which I even think is silly. Let's let these guys develop a little bit. They can be perfectly good players in year three without showing it much so far. With Williams, he's a guy that is certainly a see it in year three, because there have been reasons why we haven't so far. All right, Tara, that's going to do it for us today. Shout out to you again. Great article on the website that people should definitely go check out. And again, very warm welcome to the Yahoo family. I'm very excited for you to be here this season. What else do you have coming up that the people can check out the next few weeks?
Every single week I'll be doing ADP, and I guess it relates to this perfectly, ADP risers and fallers. So make sure that you're following to check that out. I'll be letting you know who the guys are that are rising up the ranking. Should we trust it? Do we really need to believe in it? We'll have all of that good stuff coming forward.
Boom. That is perfectly on theme. Yes, Tara's going to be involved in a lot of the content that you're going to see from Yahoo this preseason and in the regular season. Some very exciting shows that we can tease here pretty soon. Very, very excited about that. But for now, again, that is going to do it for us today. Thanks for tuning in. Once again, we are presented by Toyota, the official automotive partner of the NFL. I would love it. Again, personal favor. I would take it as a like, we're real friends. If you leave a 5-star rating and review, you like and subscribe to the podcast. We're not close personal friends if you leave a 4 or 3-star rating. 5-star rating review for friends only. You can also send us an email if you want to get on the show, fantasymailbag@yahoosports.com. We'd love to hear your voice, see you via a video note. Those are the best. We're going to be back on Monday with a very special edition of Mock Draft Monday. Scott Pianowski and I will be recording the next pod on location at the Fantasy Football Expo in Canton, Ohio. It's going to be a great weekend. Both of us are going to be there drafting with folks, and we're going to recap it all. If you're there at the Expo and you're listening to this, come find me. I would love to say hi and would love to meet you. It's going to be a great weekend. I'm very, very excited. Until then, we're out.